Welcome to Storybrooke.
Enjoy your stay.
Welcome to Onceable, Hypeable's Once Upon a Time podcast. I'm Jen, and tonight I'm joined by Laura, Karen, and Brittany. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
All right, we just finished a pretty exciting episode of Once Upon a Time, so let's get everyone's initial reactions, because maybe everyone didn't think it was exciting. I don't know yet. So, Laura, why don't we start with you? Tell us what you thought about the episode.
I liked it. I would say it's a thumbs up for me. It's not the most exciting episode ever, but I felt like I was the least lost this time as somebody who doesn't know anything about Frozen. I was able to enjoy the episode even though I'm clueless about Frozen, and it's been kind of a hindrance until now.
Okay. How about Brittany?
I'm going to go thumb sideways. I mean, the end was probably the only part that I would give a thumbs up. It was the whole Regina and Emma thing just bugged me. It felt so repetitive, and it just got old after a while. So I felt like it was dragging in parts this week.
Okay, Karen?
I'm going to give it a thumbs up. Wasn't my favorite episode by a long shot, but I will say that, yeah, Regina was really annoying me this episode until the end when Emma, you know, gave her little speech. I really liked that part. I was also glad we didn't have any Rumpel this time because he's just been annoying the crap out of me. So it was a good episode.
And spelling his name is a challenge.
Yes. Brittany hates spelling his name.
Yeah, I probably always spell it wrong because I abbreviate it. I'm like, whatever. For me, I'm going to give it a thumbs up because I think there's some really important information that we learn in this episode. Even if I agree with you guys about the whole Regina Emma thing, it felt really draggy and kind of repetitive, but for like the Elsa moments and even some of the moments with the Snow Queen, I think there's a lot there that was actually really good. And the Will and Snow White moment, can we please have more? Because that was fantastic. So those are the things that I really liked about it. I liked a whole lot more than I didn't like, so it's a thumbs up for me. As always, let's chat about our favorite quotes. I didn't feel like this episode was overly quote-worthy, but there were some good ones. Brittany, do you want to start with your favorite quote?
Yeah, so I chose, actually, as soon as I give it a thumb sideways and explain my reasoning, I actually went with a Regina line from one of her tantrums, and it was, do what I do, learn to live with it. And I think that that was just so telling of what Regina's kind of been going through, especially coming out of last season, because she has to internalize that's going on, and she's not willing to right now take credit for the attempts to save Marion's life. She doesn't want to talk about it out loud. She just wants to get it done and not deal with it. And I think that that's going to be an important lesson for Emma, who was coming from a very Snow White and Prince Charming background where honesty is the best policy. So I liked that moment out of all of Regina's nonsense this week.
Okay. Karen, what's yours?
Mine was when David says, if we fall through a portal to Asgard, because being the Marvel junkie that I am, I just really liked that line. And of course, relevant given that David said it because the actor was actually in Thor.
Yes, this is so, so true. And I missed him the first time I watched Thor. Yeah, he was one of his, like, merry men in Thor.
He was, the Robin Hood version.
Yeah.
So I was wondering how they were getting away with, like, quoting a Marvel franchise and wondering
because
if
it's Disney ABC. Owns it. Yeah, Disney owns all of Marvel. Disney and Marvel are together. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it's super funny. And this is, like, the second or third time they've referenced Thor. I'm starting to get a little nervous.
When did they do it before?
There's been the comic book of Thor.
Oh, right.
And I think there was one other thing about Thor's hammer, but I could be wrong. So, yeah. So there's definitely been a couple of times that they've referenced Thor, which kind of makes me chuckle a little bit. But anyway. All right, Laura, what's your favorite quote this episode?
I just love Will, the knave. And he's there with that just wonderful little scene with Snow, and he just looks at her and goes, "Did you just call me short and stupid?" I just loved their whole little scene there as he's digging away in the sand, and it just goes so wrong, but it's hilarious, and it was so Will, and I can't possibly have enough Will, so it made me happy.
Yeah, that was really funny. I have two separate quotes, just because I can. And the first one is when the Snow Queen goes, "I'm going to build a snowman." Because, hello, where was Olaf? That was not Olaf. I'm not happy. And the second one was from Will, when he and Snow, again, were having that conversation. He's like, "It happens to the best of us when we've had a touch too much to drink." And I'm just like, oh, Will. So that scene is probably the best part about this whole episode, but those are some super fun quotes. So let's kind of hop in and talk about the episode a little bit. Let's talk about the flashbacks first, because there's only a couple of them, and then we can talk a little bit of, you know, about everything else that happened in Storybrooke. So this set of flashbacks is basically Emma, and it's all about Emma when she was in her teens, in kind of a runaway, and she was in Minnesota, of all places. So she left Boston and ends up in Minnesota, and she's trying to steal, and she meets a girl named Lily. And Lily kind of shows Emma the ropes. She teaches her how to use credit cards to steal stuff, or to buy stuff, if you will. And then she's like, "Oh, well, you know, I'm going to move into a summer house, and this is where we're going to live." And so her and Emma are hanging out. They're living there and all this stuff. But the reality is that Lily actually is named Lilith, and she has a family. Even though she says she was adopted, she has a family that adopted her. And so it's a really strange thing, and that's all we get for flashback. So, and then she has like a funny tattoo, not a tattoo, but like a birthmark that almost looks like a star on her wrist. And she's had it as long as she can remember. So what do you guys think about that set of flashbacks? Is Lilith going to come up and be really important in Emma's life again? Or was the point of the flashback so that we got to see the end thing with the videotape? What do you guys think?
Interestingly enough, I kept trying to think about, and I understand the whole Lilith and, you know, what is her mythology history, and that being possibly demons or wherever that may go. But I kept wondering if it might be more simple than that, in a sense, because I started thinking Lily, like, where else have we heard a Lily in Disney mythology, since this stuff just seems to keep looping back on itself? And I was wondering if it had anything to do with Tiger Lily and Peter Pan. So I'm wondering, because there's like a whole Captain Hook thing going on there too. So I'm wondering if it's going to loop back that way in some sense. But I feel like, I mean, she's there in this like little video, and I just feel like she's going to pop up in Storybrooke as somebody else, but I don't know who she's going to be.
You know, with the star tattoo, that's actually really relevant. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, like, I just kept thinking, because isn't in Peter Pan something like wish, like, second star to something or other, and
second
on until
star to the
morning?
Right.
Right. So I just,
until dawn.
Right. So I just was wondering if maybe she's Tiger Lily, and the star tattoo has something to do with, I don't know, mythology there in some sense. I don't know. I'm curious. I don't know.
Well, that would fit because she's a lost kid, so she can technically go to the island, but she isn't a boy, so we have to figure out a way around that.
I mean, it's just been weird though, because you think if that was the case, then if she was somehow connected to the whole Peter Pan thing, why would they bring her in now? It just seems like an odd thing, because we've already done Peter
Pan
and Neverland.
Right, we did the whole Neverland thing.
Right.
So, like,
I mean,
why now? But I don't know.
She could somehow be related to the fairies, because in some mythologies, Lilith is the queen of the fairies. And we do have, like, the green fairy and the blue fairy. And we, you know what I mean? They're there. We have all of them in the fairy tales and in Storybrooke. So she could somehow be connected to them. I mean, I don't know. It's just, I don't know. I just think that there was so much put on the fact that she had this star tattoo and that Emma walked away from her, and the whole way it kind of played out for her not to come back up again at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I agree. It's just, you know, it would be a little strange if it was like, whoop, you're never going to hear from her again. I was also, it was actually kind of funny because I was watching the whole show on about a 15-minute delay, which eventually, like, it caught up because I didn't get home until about 8:15. So as I'm doing, like, the fast forward on my DVR and, like, trying to catch up and everything else, all of a sudden I'm like, oh, did I switch TV channels? Like, for a minute there, I thought I was watching another TV series. Like, when, you know, that whole Emma and her thing went on, I was just like, whoa, whoa, wait, what is this? Am I still on ABC? Like, it was kind of a different vibe. I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. So we'll keep an eye out. And if anyone has any really cool theories out there that's listening, let us know, because I'd be curious to see what other people think about Lilith and her place in the Storybrooke world. So speaking of Storybrooke, the opening scene of this entire episode is the Snow Queen kind of defrosting someone in her way. And we know that it's Anna, and that she's basically kind of using the defrosted Anna later on throughout the episode to lure in Elsa. Did you guys think Anna was really there, or do you think it was just like a snow creation?
Naively, I really hoped that was actually Anna, but I should have known better.
Yeah, I didn't think it was her.
Brittany's like, yeah,
it would be too easy.
Yeah, I was like, oldest trick in the book. Like, I was like, really? You're gonna fall for that? I was
like,
sure
we have a 2-hour episode coming up. We need to save Anna for something.
Well, it looks like she's in next week's episode, so it'll be interesting. All right, so then we get a little. Elsa and Emma are looking for clues at the station, which isn't very shocking or fun. It's just they're kind of hanging out doing their thing. And Emma gives Will a half-eaten Pop-Tart for breakfast because he's still there. Why would we let Will out? It's kind of silly.
My favorite flavor of Pop-Tart, I might add.
Well, there you go.
And now I'm starving. So
and now you're like, and if only I had a Pop-Tart. So from there, we get a little of Regina, and there was actually a lot of Regina in this episode. But this first segment with Regina is she's looking for the Snow Queen, and she's using Sydney. Now, Sydney is kind of really not being helpful with Regina in a lot of ways. What did you guys think of Sydney in this first part of the episode?
Well, I think he's sensing the change that Regina's undergone because she's asking him to, like she kind of recapped at the end, she's asking him to go and find Marion so she can kill her, like go back and kill her so the problem doesn't exist. And now he's being asked to just follow someone and then follow Emma and then follow the Snow Queen. So he's like, I don't think he feels the same sort of allegiance to her, even though she still has him trapped in a mirror.
Yeah, I think Sydney is a little more bloodthirsty, and
definitely.
He misses the old Regina in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm. I think Sydney's tired of getting screwed over. I mean, in a sense, like talk about a guy that just has gotten used and abused. Like, I think he's really, really tired of just really being as the means to somebody else's end. Like, I feel, in a sense, you can't even blame the guy for screwing over Regina, considering what she did to him, or the fact that she just, like, I mean, she left him locked up in a mental asylum. I mean, I just don't, he was not the nicest guy ever, but we had that episode where we had his backstory, and I want to say that was almost 2 years ago at this point. Like, I liked Sydney, and then you could understand why he might have been bitter, having been chucked into the mirror and being forced to be the magic mirror and everything. So I think Sydney's just tired of being somebody else's puppet, and he just wants out.
I agree. Like, I used to have a lot of sympathy for Sydney. I mean, he still did pretty crappy things, but I feel like he did it under duress and under the threats of Regina, and now he's kind of, well, I mean, he definitely is acting on his own and seeking somebody else who's even more powerful than she is, and I feel like all the sympathy that I had for him is just out the window now.
Yeah, I think he showed who he truly was in this episode, and he's not willing to change, whereas Regina is,
And that is, it's a little too much for him in a sense. Do you know what I mean? Like, he couldn't handle that. So, I don't know. Then we have, let's see. Emma goes to Regina for help, and this is one of Regina's first temper tantrums, where she just can't let it go with Emma. And basically, it's really just, it's an unhealthy relationship. That's what we're going to go with, you guys.
I just wanted to shake her and go, grow the F up. I mean, I know we don't swear on this podcast, but I just wanted to be like, really, 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 like, get over yourself. Like, I mean, I'm like, you are a whiny little 16-year-old and not even a mature 16-year-old. I was really antagonized with Regina because I just kept thinking, so where does this end? So you're going to continue to pout like, you know, the whiny 16-year-olds whose prom date didn't work out. And the upshot is that this is Henry's mother. So where do you think that's going to come down where Henry realizes you're being a jerk to his biological mom and you're using the magic mirror? And like, I'm like, stop screwing yourself over. Like, what the heck? I was so annoyed with her.
Yeah, I agree. My friend just started watching Once Upon a Time and she is still just starting season two. And I keep saying she's so annoyed at Regina. And going into this week, I'm like, no, give her a chance. Give her a chance. I swear you're going to change. Your whole outlook on Regina is going to change. And then I watch this week's episode and I'm like, oh, it's like going back to season one and watching her over again. And I want her to just grow up.
Yeah. I will say, though, I do still, as annoyed as I was at her, I don't find the level of revulsion with her that I am finding now with Rumpel. Like, Rumpel, I'm just like, done. You know,
same.
I'm like, over, done. But like, Regina, I feel like she hasn't, I mean, as much as I'm annoyed with her, I don't feel like she's stepped over an unbreakable line. I feel like Rumpel has, but I don't feel like Regina has.
I feel the same way. I've really, really grown to like Regina over the last season or so. She's become one of my favorite characters because she's so complex and there's so much going on and there is a lot of turmoil inside of her, but she's really, truly trying to do the right thing. And even though throughout this entire episode, she is still trying to do the right thing, she's being really bratty about it. And she's like, I don't want to forgive you because I don't feel like it. And I'm just like, look, it was a crappy mistake that Emma made, but it was a mistake. She didn't do it on purpose. And I know you're mad at her, but you could handle it a little bit better. And I'm just hoping, you know, what happened at the end of the episode will kind of carry forth and Regina will sort of just lay off Emma. She can still be mad, but maybe not as bratty as she has been.
Yeah, it's a really weird dynamic, because I think for a while Emma behaved that way towards Regina as well. I wouldn't say this is a one-sided, I'm going to be a spoiled brat today kind of interaction. There are times when Emma behaves that way towards Regina as well, I think. So I think it's just the dynamic between these two characters that kind of rotates between the two of them, depending on who feels like they've been more wronged at the time. I don't know. So Snow and Charming are trying to have a big night out. And by big, I mean they're going to go for like a walk. And Snow is having some reluctance at leaving the baby behind, even though Belle is there to watch little baby Neil. So Snow's, what did you guys think of Snow and being like a little cray cray about leaving baby Neil with Belle?
I thought it was understandable. I mean, she's gone through a lot. Poor
yeah. Yeah. You know, it, as much as like that wasn't me personally when I had my son and he was a young, you know, a young baby, an infant, like for a lot of mothers, that is their reality. I mean, it is something that I mean, I probably will get some crap for this, but I admittedly look at people like really when they do stuff like that. I'm like, seriously? But it is something that a lot of mothers do go through. So I suppose it's realistic in that sense, even though I don't personally relate to it really well. There certainly are a lot of people who do react in that fashion. So I think I probably should try to be more open-minded and not critique it on that level.
Well, I think part of it is the last time she left a baby somewhere, she didn't see her again for 20 or 30 some odd years. So I mean, I get that there's this level of anxiety around leaving the baby to the point where you're like, wait, I've left a baby. I sent her to a new world. I was supposed to get her back. It didn't happen. And now I've got a full-grown adult that's my child, and I didn't get to experience any of the things having a child meant. And so I understand that part, but, like, when she's, like, all over the walkie-talkies and, like, make sure you have the long-distance ones and make sure, like, it's just it's cute in Snow's version of that, I guess. And then David, of course, is like, really? I think the way, and then that's where the portal to Asgard comment comes in, which was highly amusing. So once we see the parents finally get to go out for a lovely evening, which later on turns into a weird evening with Will involved, we move on, and as Emma is talking to Regina, Elsa's waiting in the car because she thinks they should have private time to argue like school children, and she sees a vision or a person that looks like Anna, and she kind of goes chasing after her. And what happens is she comes to the cliff, which suspiciously looks like the same cliff that her and Kristoff went down to go into the cave to get the urn. Just throwing it out there. They should really mix up their cliffs if they're going to use them more than once. And she builds a lovely snow bridge, which I thought was very nice. And she crosses over thinking she's going to get to see Anna, and really it's the Snow Queen. And the Snow Queen kind of is a pain in the butt, I'm not going to lie. She imprisons Elsa with chains, and the chains get tighter the more fearful Elsa is. And the Snow Queen is really up to no good with Elsa. She wants to prove to Elsa how powerful she is. She wants her not to waste her magic and her power. But she won't tell anybody what her end game is, of course, because that would be too easy. So Elsa's pretty much clung to the ground by these chains because she can't, she's too fearful to do anything else. And the Snow Queen kind of goes off, and this is where her comment comes in that she's going to go build a snowman.
Well, here's the thing, though. I wonder if we do know what her end game is, even though it's totally warped. It seems like her end game is, I want a family, even if I have to steal one or create one. Like, I mean, it seems like her end game is something about formulating a family around herself, but I don't know how, like, attaching Elsa in chains is acquiring that, or how Emma fits in. So I feel like that is her end game, but I don't understand what, how she's doing helps that situation in any sense.
Yeah, it's really unclear what her actions are regarding Elsa, because clearly she knows Elsa has power. Clearly she says they're related, or had in a, you know, in a past episode said that she was her aunt. It's very unclear around, like, tonight it was revealed that she wants a family back. She's going to take back what she never had. But other than that, we don't really have, like, who's going to be a part of this family? How is this family going to work? Are you going to freeze everybody into your family? Like, I don't get it. So I don't know. Do you guys, Brittany or Karen, do you guys have any thoughts about that whole idea?
Well, she was really excited when she realized that Elsa could, like, control herself enough to get out of the chains. And that's the part that bugged me the most, because I really just want to know why she's right. So interested in Elsa's power and her ability to control it if she needs to.
Right, and there's been a lot of that. That's not the first time that that's come up. So, yeah. I mean, from that scene, we kind of go to an Emma and Regina meet up, and then we cut back to Elsa, and Elsa kind of finally just breaks her chains, and she runs off to follow the Snow Queen, and then we have that scene where Emma and Regina are finally fighting together with their magic, and yay, Emma's magic worked again, and they're the ice warrior that was not a snowman, I'll have you know. That was not okay. That's not a snowman. And they were fighting him. They melt him. And then the ice queen or the Snow Queen shows up and basically tries to choke them both. It's lovely. And then Elsa comes in and kind of zaps her with a nice blast of icy magic. And she seems thrilled, which is really strange. But she's like thrilled that Elsa's magic is working. So clearly Elsa's magic is going to play some role in her greater scheme.
Yeah.
that's the part that bothered me the most too. Just like she was, you know, your fear is gone. And I mean, we know that she has trouble with her powers because she's fearful of them. So for some reason she needs Elsa, you know, at the top of her game, but that just seems strange right now considering that they're obviously enemies. So I just wonder if there's going to be more manipulation going on in the future with she's going to be getting Elsa to do something for her, whether she knows it or not.
Yeah, I don't know. It would be odd because you would think Elsa's the only one who can really challenge her magically at the moment that we've seen. So you would think she wouldn't want Elsa to be at, like, the top of her game with magic.
Yeah, and right. She says that when she's imprisoning her. She's like, I need you out of the way.
Right, and then she's excited when she breaks free of the chains and zaps her. So it's all very confusing. I don't know. She's got something up her sleeve, though, and I'm sure it's not going to be good, whatever it is. The whole point of the Snow Queen getting Regina to come out to the woods is essentially to steal the mirror and to steal Sydney. And in the long run, it's really only the mirror she wants. She wants nothing to do with Sydney. And she kind of sets him free, which is, again, weird. So let's talk about that for a minute. So she kind of goes back to her ice palace, wherever that may be, and she releases Sydney, and then she basically sends him off and says the only thing she needs is the mirror because she needs the dark magic that's in the mirror. And she cracks the mirror, and we see a very large mirror behind her, and it looked like it was the last missing piece of the mirror is what she used from Regina's. Did you guys get that? Was that correct? Is that what you guys kind of saw too?
Yeah, because the cracks went away as soon as that piece went in.
Okay. So, now, I know, Brittany, you told us last week about the Snow Queen's, like, not folklore kind of thing, where she has a mirror that's broke, and when it breaks, it kind of hits different people and does bad things to them. It changes how their heart is.
There was, like, this orb that, like, a sorcerer had made, it was really, like, an ogre or something. And, like, when it shattered, like, the pieces would go into people's hearts and their eyes, and it would change the way they see others. So I'm thinking maybe she's going to use that to change how Emma sees everyone else and take her back.
Maybe. Because, I mean, she's put a mirror back together rather than take it apart.
Yeah, so they could just be reversing the story.
Right. So I find that really interesting, too, is that the way she's putting it back together, and this mirror is going to do something for her, but even though she doesn't have a genie trapped inside the mirror. So I'm really curious to see where they take this, because there are lots of different lores out there that have, you know, the Snow Queen and a mirror and all these different things in them. So
yeah, and I liked they said that she was a collector of mirrors, because in the book she has, like, or story, she has this, like, lake, this reflecting lake. And I thought that that was probably a callback to that. And it's not necessarily a lake. Instead, I just imagined it like a snow globe collection. I'm just like mirrors.
That would be so funny.
Or like Cora's hearts or something. I'm like, oh, she just has all these mirrors on display in her home.
I vote snow globes over hearts any day. So it was really interesting to kind of see how that kind of wraps up. And then, of course, we didn't talk about it, but we have the Will and Snow White kind of moment on the beach. Now, here's something interesting. Will is digging because he's looking for his bag that he buried that has a map in it that's going to take him somewhere. Where does the map take Will?
Wonderland. That's a good question. Yeah, I was wondering if it's Wonderland.
I know. But he'd have to find a portal for that, wouldn't he?
Yeah, I really thought that when he was digging, he was trying to make a tunnel that the rabbit would make.
Oh.
That was my first thought.
That would be a lot of digging.
Yeah. I was like, oh, he's clearly drunk, so he's digging a hole himself.
I wonder, instead of going to Wonderland, could he be going back to, like, Anastasia's world? Was she from the Enchanted Forest?
I forget where they were from, because they jumped into
I don't think they ever really knew.
Yeah, they jumped into a looking glass.
Right, they jumped through a looking glass, which is interesting, too, considering we're talking about mirrors and looking glasses and stuff.
Yeah, but I don't think it was ever really specific where she was from.
Yeah, I'm also wondering how much, if anything, they'll incorporate his Wonderland storyline in, only because I think most people would even agree with this, that he was really the best thing about that whole show last year. I don't know that they're going to start pulling in some of those other characters. So I feel like, in a sense, he almost can't be looking for Wonderland. But I feel like at the same time, they are going to have to chalk up some plausible explanation as to why he's not with Anastasia, why he's okay with that factoid, or I don't know. I mean, I'm looking forward to him reconnecting with Robin, but I feel like they pulled over this really great character, but they've got to do something to explain how he's functioning in the here and now, and I think we're really missing that currently.
Yeah, we talked a little about that last week, because last week he was found, obviously, with the Alice in Wonderland book and the picture of the Red Queen from the book. So we can't decide if the timeline is prior to Wonderland or post-Wonderland. I mean, I think it has to be post-Wonderland, but it's once upon a time. It could be any time.
Yeah. I'm really looking for him reconnecting with Robin Hood. Like, I think that would be interesting, and I don't think we've, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think we've seen that yet, right?
No, not on Once Upon a Time we haven't.
Yeah, I would like to really see him interact in some level with Robin Hood. I think that would be interesting.
Okay, so let's see. We have a Regina and Emma kind of makeup session where Emma goes down to talk to Regina again. She doesn't give up on her because Elsa's like, you know, you really shouldn't give up on her. You have to keep trying and pushing. And Emma gives this really good speech about how her and Regina are actually really similar. They both know what it means to be disappointed and to be let down and to have things taken away from them. So they're kind of at a truce. Did you guys feel like they were at a truce once the speech was given?
Yeah, definitely. This was by far the best part of the episode because I feel like both Emma and Regina came a really long way in just these couple of minutes. And I think we're all pretty annoyed with Regina up until this point. And finally, Emma got through to her. And I feel like Regina's still going to be mad or at least upset and sad about her situation because there's really nothing she can do. I mean, she's in love with Robin Hood. He loves her, but he feels like he has to be with Marion. And so the whole thing still sucks, but I think Regina finally realizes that Emma is being genuine and she's not trying to make up with Regina to get rid of her guilt. She really wants to help her. And I really like that. I think their friendship is one of the most unique things because they're so different. And yet it has the potential to work so, so well for both of them.
Yeah, I agree. Very well put, Karen. All right, so let's talk about Charming and Snow at the end, where we have, you know, Snow had this really great kind of little impromptu meeting with Will where she says, oh, David did this. I know he's did this. He wanted to make things exciting for me. And Will's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And she's like, if you tell me the truth, I will pardon you. And so he's like, yep, he did it. And that's it. And Snow White lets him go. And of course, he actually didn't do it. And did you guys know that as you're watching this, that Will's kind of like just rolling with it, whatever he can say or do to get himself out of trouble?
Yeah, and I love that he struggled with who's related to who and what position they hold in the town. Because as a newcomer, like, you're really struggling with that. He's like, wait, you're married to the blonde chick? And she's like, no, that's my daughter. I'm married to the other sheriff. And he's like, well, what gives the sheriff's wife the ability to pardon me? And she's like, well, I'm the mayor, too.
Yeah.
all right, I give up. Whatever you want, woman, I'll tell you.
Pretty much. I love that interaction. And then so Snow's all like lovey-dovey with David. Oh, thank you so much for doing all these things. And this was so wonderful. You let him free just so I could chase him. And David's like, yeah, no, honey, no.
He's almost like, oh, I wish I thought of that.
I know, right?
Right.
He's like, if that's all it took, well, then, you know. So Snowy actually pardons Will without realizing she's actually doing it, I guess, in a sense. There was that moment. And I hope we see more of those guys together because I really liked the interactions between Snow and Will. Because she's a little sassy back to him, and I think he needs that. But in, like, a loving, caring Snow White kind of way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, right. not Emma trying to give him, like, a happy about her type of way.
Right, yeah. The fact that she called him the Boosie Bookworm.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes! I kind of love it, I'm not going to lie.
Although, I really like it when Snow yells and gets really angry and kind of unhinges because it's so funny. And I'd love to see her, like, tear Will a new one because he'd be like, whoa, what is going on here?
Yeah, this is true. Yeah. But, like, any more interactions with them, I think, is definitely make it happen.
I just love that Will was just like, you could see him like fighting to focus and pay attention on it. It was just like, it was just, you kind of liked watching him be about a step behind and going, what? Like, yeah, I enjoyed him very much in this.
Yeah. And so the last scene of the entire show is very revealing and telling in a lot of ways. Emma's kind of going back through her childhood and Hook comes in and she allows him to kind of go through the box with her. And we see a bunch of things. We see the mood ring that she used to wear. We see the glasses that she wore. And then, of course, there's a photo of her and Neil. And then she finds the video camera that she had with Lily. And
with the most amazing battery life of any thing from 1998 I've ever seen. I was so annoyed that it had, like, power.
I thought she popped a video out of it. I could be wrong. But
it would be so small.
I know. I don't know. Go with it.
It's Storybrooke.
Exactly. Obviously. And they watch the video, and we see the video that she and Lily made, and then it kind of scrambles and cuts to this boy taunting a young Emma. So it's the same Emma we had seen in the video prior, and she's clearly at a new foster home. And in the back, we see the Snow Queen. And
it was like the house mom. Like, what is up with that?
She's clearly has been Emma's foster parent at some point, which is really disturbing.
Yeah. Like, very, very wrong. Like, I was just like, what? Like, I know that Emma talks about, like, there were a lot of different places and she's tried to block things out. I just don't understand how Emma could have blocked out someone who was in charge of her house during foster care. Like, I'm very surprised that could be true.
Yeah, right. Well, her memory was wiped, though.
Right.
Because she doesn't even remember talking to her in the ice cream shop. So I think, I don't know how she did it, but.
Rumpelstiltskin.
Probably. That's a good.
A good theory. When in doubt, blame Rumpelstiltskin.
Yeah, Rumpel clearly knows all about it. Rumpel knows what's up, so I would not put it past him to be stirring the pot in some way.
Yeah, because he does ask the Snow Queen in that other episode, like, sort of, let me know when you need my help. And I think that's going to be when he restores Emma's memories.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. So now we have this woman who's this Snow Queen, but she's living in our world, not in an Enchanted Forest or an Arendelle or anything like that. So that begs the question, where did she come from?
My thought initially was when I, like, initially meaning after the episode ended, was that she was a foster mom trying to re-find her daughter who was given to the system. And I think that might have been Lily because she would know by the mark
if
she was magical.
That would make sense. I like it.
Okay, here's, and I have a feeling that I'm totally wrong. Feel free to laugh at me. But when the Snow Queen looked into the mirror and she was like, finally, I'll be able to have a family that loves me. I mean, that's basically what Lily said. So I was like, wait, are they the same person? I was very confused. And I know, like, the Snow Queen is older, obviously, since she was older in that on the camera, and she's blonde, and it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. But considering that she had that mark and she was supposed to be special, and we have a feeling that maybe something more is going on there, do you guys think that there's any possibility that they could be the same person?
I don't know. Because Emma literally left, like, left childcare, like, left right, Lily and was in that new home. Do you know what I mean? It was the same Emma. She wasn't that much different.
Right, it was although still younger.
I will admit, when we were watching the video, like, when we hadn't gotten to that part yet, I was starting to think that maybe the Snow Queen was Lily. Like, before we got that far into it.
Yes.
Because I was like, there's something. Like, clearly this is the connection we've been looking for. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, if she came into her power, that could make her blonde. Because, it, you know, that magic has that.
Yeah, that was how I thought that, too.
But I agree with you, too. It was just too immediate. Like, it was just so clearly, like, the same Emma. And I felt like that instant, not instant, an incident with the camera happened, like, almost immediately after they left that house. So I feel like, yeah, it's not the same. They can't. I was down that path, too, but I agree with you. It cannot be the same person. It's just too close in the timeline.
Right, unless there's really some strange magic, but I don't know. So yeah, I'm
still sticking with my Tiger Lily crack theory. I'm going with it. I could be wrong, but I feel like that's who that is. But I don't know, have anything else on the Snow Queen. But I feel like that's who Lily is, and maybe she'll pop up again in Storybrooke. That could be cool.
Alrighty, so that pretty much ended the show for us right there. Is when we have Hook and Emma see that the Snow Queen was actually one of Emma's foster parents, and she has zero memory of the woman.
So I have a Hook question, because maybe I just don't remember this from last week's episode. So Hook and his hook is back. I just don't remember him relinquishing his hand. Am I just having...
Yeah, no, that was the whole last episode was spent with that sort of thing.
I'm just in a fog. Okay. Because yeah. I remember him getting his hand back. I just don't remember him then trading it in back for his hook. I mean, I remember him.
Yeah, he thought it was bad.
I just don't remember seeing the switch back to the hook, I guess. I don't know why. I just don't remember that.
Yeah, it was last week's episode.
Okay. Never mind.
All right. So does anyone have anything else? Karen, I think you have something you wanted to discuss from the promo for next week's episode, right? Tell us a little bit about that.
I do. Okay, so if you guys saw the promo, you saw that Emma and Hook were looking at a scroll, and the scroll looked like it had some sort of Viking writing on it, possibly Asgardian. We don't know. I'm hopeful that, like, Chris Hemsworth is just going to land in the middle of Storybrooke. I would be down for that, but I just spent this entire podcast, like, translating that. I know
I have a copy of it, too.
Really nerdy, but this is what it says, so this is pretty interesting. At least what we could see, there's a lot more up above where they were unfurling it that we didn't see on camera, so there's probably more to this, but it seems like a prophecy or something. But it said, if I'm right, it said, "The search will continue to the ends of the earth. One thing I know for sure, the name of the Savior is Emma. The Savior shall be my sister. The family must be complete."
Say what now?
Yeah.
Ooh, what?
I was reading it as too.
So that's just...
She
All
will be my
sister?
Yeah. Now, I wonder if there is some sort of connection between the Snow Queen and Emma. I mean, it's like a foster... It must be like a foster sister, maybe? Or brother. It could be a boy.
Because, like, I'm thinking David didn't have a kid somewhere else that he neglected to tell anybody about. And I'm thinking pretty much you know, Snow didn't do the same that we're missing. So, you know, and I think it's a little late to pull the evil twin kind of thing going on, but interesting.
So it could be someone from foster care, or it could be Lily.
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
That way.
Especially since the last line says the family must be complete. I mean, that sounds a lot like what Lily and the Snow Queen were saying, that they'll finally have a family that loves them.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, and she was saying that she's almost done finding everything. The Snow Queen earlier.
So I wonder if the last thing she's looking for is Lily.
Hmm.
I don't know. I like it. I find this very fascinating. I like this little kind of push off into the idea of, like, Vikings, etc.
Thor. I just want Thor.
You're like, I just want Thor! That makes me laugh really hard. So, oh gosh, I don't even know. Like, that's pretty intense. Well, I'm kind of excited. And also, in I saw only part of the promo for next week, but we get some Belle, like, maybe finally calling Rumple out next week.
I'm looking, like I said, I feel like Rumple really overstepped his bounds. Like, I felt like Belle was willing to forgive a lot, but I feel like deep down, Rumple really never changed versus Regina really did, even though she has relapses. And I feel like Rumple has never stopped being selfish, and I'm kind of good if Belle calls him out on that and possibly even takes him out. I can't believe I'm advocating Belle murder here, but
oh my gosh.
You know, I could I just feel like Rumple's just I don't know, I feel like Belle's gonna take a stand and be like, yeah, I loved you and you killed it and it's your fault, because I don't know that Rumple's gonna get I just wonder if Rumple will ever have the ultimate wake-up call. Like, I feel there's a lot that could happen to Regina that would shock her into, yo, get over yourself, whether it is Robin delivering that message or Henry delivering that message or maybe even Emma delivering that message. Like, I feel there is somebody who could absolutely truly get through to Regina and tell her, you know, you're being a jerk. Like wake up and stop. But I feel like almost there's no one who can deliver that message to Rumple, including Belle. And I feel like the only way he's even going to realize how many mistakes he's made is if she walks out. I don't know. Maybe that's too harsh, but I just feel like he's like, despite everything, I feel like he's learned nothing.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I'll be curious to see what actually happens in next week's episode with Belle.
The ghost of Balefire will come back and haunt him. Who knows?
Because we see her with the dagger, so she's either going to find out that it's not the real one, or he's going to try to make her look foolish. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
That was really intense, that whole part with her and Anna, and just the whole dagger thing. Like, I'm really looking forward to this, because it's about time that Belle figures out what's actually going on.
Right.
I can't imagine that they're actually going to let Anna, like, plunge to her death. Like, I'm sure that's, you know, they're trying to hype it up, but I just can't imagine them actually letting her truly plunge without, I don't know, somebody swooping in to save her in some fashion.
Well, here's the interesting thing. The thing with Anna and Belle looked like a flashback because of the way Belle was dressed. And if it is, that means Belle doesn't remember meeting Anna.
Hmm.
So, is somebody playing with Belle's memories, too?
Rumple.
Rumple. When in doubt, blame Rumple.
That should be on a t-shirt.
Really want that on a t-shirt.
With the wrong spelling. Crossed out and then rewritten.
Poor Karen. All right, so does anyone have anything else? Any other thoughts or crack theories for this episode?
I just randomly read in the comments on our last episode that apparently the writers said that Hook lives at Granny's, so that mystery is solved.
Oh, excellent.
He lives on that bench.
Oh, good.
I just want him to, like, again, he's back to his old clothes. Can we please?
It's a different leather jacket, Laura. Yeah.
Was it a different leather jacket? Yeah, okay. We didn't get to see enough of him. Okay. As long as he's shopping at Urban Outfitters now with Robin.
Yeah,
I'm good with
he's
it.
Definitely not an Urban Outfitter, but you know. All right. So does anyone have anything else for this episode? No? Okay. So as always, thanks you guys for listening to our crazy rantings about Once Upon a Time. As always, you guys can check out the latest news at hypebubble.com and follow us on Twitter at Once Upon News, where Brittany posts all the latest and greatest information about Once Upon a Time. So until next time, I'm Jen.
I'm Laura.
I'm Karen.
And I'm Brittany.
Bye, guys.
Bye.